Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association, where we believe what one can do, many can. This is the New Africa Business Association Blog Radio of the Washington-Baltimore metropolitan area. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with
Abdul Aziz Shaheed.
And we will be right back with tonight's show in just a moment. Metropolitan area. Again, your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum.
And Abdul Aziz Shaheed.
And Brother Abzu, our topic tonight, of course, is having to do with the 100 investors that we're constantly looking for. But I guess we should give a reason why we are looking for 100 investors. As you know, the New Africa Business Association has two objectives. Our first objective is to identify businesses, and when I say businesses, we make no bones about it. We're trying to identify African-American businesses in our community so we can know how to identify businesses in our community, promote those businesses, and hopefully we can have our consumers shopping at those places of business. And, of course, our second mission is to create new businesses jointly. The FYI report, year-ending consumers spending report is what I'm referring to. As far as African-American spendings in the year 2016, and that report was $1.1 trillion, what we did in consumer spending. And, of course, one of the amazing things that I found that was during the Christmas holidays, from December the 1st until December the 31st, $5.5 billion in just those 30 days alone was spent into hair. Yes, indeed, our beautiful sisters making themselves even more
beautiful.
So hair. So it goes to show that producing business in our own community rather than being consumers is worth our while. So again, those of you who are already in business, we invite you to participate. You can call in. We do have the open mic again tonight. And that call-in number would be 657-383-1372. And so, again, that's why we're looking for the 100 investors to at least start the idea of having a business and it's owned by members of the community. So that's what the 100 investors objective is. We sent out several different hundreds of different franchise businesses that, of course, we showed that we could go into, but at the same time, we could create our own generic businesses. But either way, we need to get 100 investors to get started in whatever our in whatever we are planning on doing as far as business. But again, $1.1 trillion was spent last year and by African-American consumers. Any comments, Brother Aziz?
Yes, that's a large amount of money for sure. In that money being spent, especially when you were mentioning hair business or hair products, I'd like to know, you know, how many, if there's a way we could find out, how many of that, how much of that money was spent on hair products that actually came from African American producers, you know, because African American producers
I can just about answer your questions if you really want to speculate on that, Brother Aziz. That $5.5 billion that was spent,
yes,
in the hair products, I can just about, if I had to guess, I would say the Asian market took just about all of that money. But one of the things, and we're saying that to say because New Africa Business Association of the Washington Metropolitan Area, there are many of us. Imam W.D. Muhammad, back in 2005, started the New Africa Business Association. He's the one who named us. And you'll find New Africa Business Associations all over the United States. Not only the United States, really many parts of Africa. You have Africans, New Africa Business Association. You have it all over the Caribbean, New Africa Business Association. As a matter of fact, when we went to incorporate here in Washington, D.C., we had to put Washington, D.C. at the end of being the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., because there were so many other ones out there that are registered. We all, most of us, are subsidiaries of the National Business Association. And the National Business Association is where we all of the local subsidiaries report to once a year. I say report, but we all get together at least once a year showing what accomplishments we have made in the annual period that we have been operating. So this year will be no difference. We will be having the International Trade Show, and that is being hosted by the National Business Association. And Brother Aziz, you can share information with them, and soon we'll go to the open mic.
Yes, the National Muslim Business Council will be holding their annual business expo conference in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, and that'll be on May 5th through the 7th. And there'll be many opportunities and products and seminars and exhibitors at this trade show. And the community will have an opportunity to network and find other people that have other African Americans that have businesses, as well as those that want to go into business together. We will also have business workshops on funding, marketing, government contracting, and starting your own business. And this once-a-year gathering by the National Muslim Business Council is just to see, again, as Brother Bilal say, how far we've all come along in our various areas in the different parts of the country where we've been supporting as well as establishing various black businesses, as well as networking all year long, the different African-American businesses, New Africa Business Associations that's throughout the country. This one time gives us an opportunity to network with those that haven't met before, as well as, again, network with those that we already know across the country in forming this big network. So this is what's going to be happening May 5th through the 7th in North Carolina, Raleigh-Durham, in the Research Triangle area. So, you know, all those attending, you can find information out of how to, for the hotels as well as other things, there by calling this number, and that is 1-888-776-9908 or area code 704-201-1353. And let me give you those numbers again. That's 1-888-776-9980 or direct 704-201-1353. And there you can get all information about the International Trade Show that's going to take place May 5th through the 7th, 2017.
And I'd like to just go ahead and just share some more information on that trade show. As we were just speaking when we opened the show, we were talking about products, and one of the products that we emphasized because so much money was spent on hair. But there are many, many products, and those of you that are in the beautician business or those of you my point is this. When you go down to the trade show this year, and I know specifically, you're going to see an advancement on our wholesale distributorships. Those wholesale distributorships will allow you to go in, and you'll see where if you wanted to go into the clothing business, the beautician business, just about any business that you see going around you and your community, because I can tell you right now, most of this trade is going through China. We have our direct connects to Imam W.D. Muhammad before his passing, and then we pray that he Allah would is pleased with him and forgive his sins. But he made these arrangements for us. And now to see the evidence of what has been put together, this is what you're going to see down in North Carolina, as to where you can now buy wholesale. We have you'll see where you can you wanted to go into buying new suits. the same suits that you go out and pay retail, of course, over $250 or $300, you will be able to see where you can actually go into the wholesale business of just about any clothing line, furniture lines. In other words, you don't have to go to the New York, what it used to be, everyone ran up to New York thinking they was going to get a wholesale deal or something like that. But no. We have it available now right in our own communities because of the network marketing that has been put together. And remember, the business associations, we've been around for a while. We started out being the Muslims Business Association, and that was incorporated in 1995. And like I said, in 2005 is when the AMAM changes from the American Muslims Business Association to the New Africa Business Association. So we are all, but and let me put emphasis on this. We are trying to grow the African American community. The African American community, yes, Muslims are taking a lead, but we're inviting all of our Christian brothers and sisters to come in and investigate. And if you like what you see, brother, we're trying to build. When it comes to $1.1 trillion being spent by consumers, we all did it. Our brother, my brothers and my sisters, your brothers. I mean, again, in the African American community, my brother could be a Muslim, and my sister could be a Christian. That's the way we roll in our communities. We don't get hung up on so much of which religious you are. We just want you to be a righteous person, and by being a righteous person, now we can become vested in each other and grow our communities and do something about this $1.1 trillion spending. We're going to, I see our mics, we have quite a few guests look like calling in, Brother Aziz, but before we go to the guests, I do want to mention some of our upcoming features. Because, like I said, it's open mic tonight, but we have some programs that is going to be very exciting. Next weekend, next Wednesday, Dr. Parker, 51090 Cooperation, and those of you who have invested in 51090 and you've been waiting on knowing how you could become new investors, Dr. Parker will be hosting the show next week to bring you up to date on what those scientists and engineers are doing with the solar systems that they're building here in the United States. But I understand, and I don't want to give up too much of the information, but I'm looking forward to his going into Africa and going into the Caribbean, especially Haiti. Brother, I'm looking forward to and these are African-American scientists and engineers, so stay tuned. You definitely want to hear and see how you can invest into their stocks and shares. And like I said, we invested years ago, and those of you who's been wanting to invest and been asking questions for the last few years, this will give you a chance. He will be taking on new investors. So Dr. Parker of 51090 will be our guest speaker next Wednesday, and of course from 7 to 8 p.m. Also, we have several programs coming up where we're going to have a network marketing and everything you need to know about estate planning, wills, living trust. Things of that nature. We're going to have lawyers and accountants and financial planners to come in to get our year started off financially. So there's a lot of good activities getting ready to come in. We ask that you stay tuned. So, Brother Aziz, we're going to take a short pause, and then we're going to come back and do an open mic and let everybody participate.
Fantastic.
Okay, be right back.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our Peppermint Foot Rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget. Bideman Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bideman Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.bidemanassociatesinsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090.
I think what we're going to do, Brother Aziz, rather than open up one mic, I'm going to open up every last one of them, and we'll somehow be able to just communicate and interject as we go along. I think we'll get through it, but I'm going to just open up all the mics. So I'll be asking anyone who has any comments or questions, you'll get a chance to do it. Just a moment. We're open up, and anyone who has any comments, now's a good time to give us your name. If you're a business owner, it's a good time to introduce your business and tell us how we can get in touch with you. Paula, do you have any questions?
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Sister. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Hello? Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
My name is Sister Stella, and I'm also working with the National Muslim Business Council. I wish you would talk a little bit about the focus this year on young adults and encouraging and developing young entrepreneurs. Hopefully there's somebody on the line that can talk about the new initiative, Launch Tank. But I am familiar with some of the statistics about not only African-American businesses, but also young entrepreneurs, those under the age of 35. There's been overall, most of our businesses, we don't employ people. They're generally at a high rate, self-employed, and not hiring any employees. So we really need to grow our businesses so that we can, so we can provide jobs in our community. A telling statistic is that white businesses can provide every working white male $102,000 a year, and black-owned businesses can provide every working age black American $7,000 a year. Now, I got this from the Small Business Association 2012 Survey of Business Owners. And so another statistic that I got from that same source was that young African Americans are entering businesses at a rate higher than the general population. But again, we're not growing our businesses so that we're we don't stay in business, but we're not able to employ people. So at the conference on May 5th to the 7th, in addition to the Launch Tank, I just like to emphasize the opportunity to not only go to the workshop, but to network with successful businessmen and women, who some of whom have revenues exceeding $1 million. And so often, because we are so many self-employed, We are trying, we're doing it all ourselves, and we're isolated and not able and to be around resources that can help us grow our businesses. So I just want to emphasize the opportunity to network and possibly be mentored, either through being a participant on Launch Tank or by just going to the social events and the workshops and meeting successful business people.
Well, Sister, we certainly appreciate your comments. And anyone who, like I said, it's open mic. Anyone wish to comment on what the sister just said? I have everyone on mic, so if anyone wants to start off the conversation, welcome to the show.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Brother Abdul Kareem in Houston, Texas. How y'all doing this evening?
Brother Kareem, how you doing again? Good to hear you again.
It's always a pleasure and definitely humbly honored that you all, with your dedication, allow, you know, this type of platform for us to get together, you know, over the mic, and never know who's out there listening. Only thing I wanted to add is that it is important, and you might already have a registry, I'm not sure, that we have to register ourselves in terms of a database. My mind is thinking in terms of a Muslim business yellow page or what have you. And, of course, the National Muslim Business Council has a database of businesses. And I would encourage everyone, if you haven't joined the database or the council, you should do that, because that is our Muslim Chamber of Commerce. I know in different locations they have their own local chambers, but this is a national one. And the reason why that's important, there's a Muslim brother, and I'm not going to mention his name. He is working diligently to create a electronic platform, like a business-to-business platform, because, you know, this is the age of information and Internet. And that we can network with each other through this particular platform. Not only network for business amongst ourselves, but also funding opportunities. I know one of the biggest issues, because I'm a finance guy, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to go into financing, because when I was a little boy sitting on the front row, I would hear my daddy ask for money every week. And sometimes I would even hear him say, lock the door, because we got to raise some money. And so that would inspire me to go into finance. I'm like, man, we always need some money. Somebody need to be a banker. So with that being said, there is some very serious and real opportunities for business financing, working capital, trade financing, you know, et cetera. But we have to be in a uniform, organized a platform in order for that to work effectively. And I won't go into the technical side of that, but I just put it to you like this. We've all been taught since the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that if we combine collectively, we'll be able to get more. So when we present our case to a banker, a national banking group, and we say, look, we have 300 registered businesses or 400 or 1,000 or 200, whatever the number is, and this is what they do, and this is what they need. Well, now it's just not Abdul Kareem asking for money. This is 300 or 400 businesses. You know, of course, there's some technical, expertise that goes into that, you know, in terms of the business analytics. But I'm saying that still that's the basis of it. So if you out there, no matter what level your business in, you should try to network with us. I'm on the executive committee of the National Business Council. And then, of course, if you have a local group, sort of like a Chamber of Commerce, then you should bring that information to the national group, because we do have some very exciting things to announce. And I know one particular initiative that I'm working with where we can get financing for whatever the business may be. Now, I know, Brother Bilal, you all have been emphasizing franchising. Well, that's an excellent way to we can pull down some money. If you want to go into a franchise, that's something that's established, that's something that can show a track record. But again, who are you? Are you you by yourself, or are you a part of a bigger group? So, inshallah. And then, of course, and I'll be quiet after this, my personal product, which is gaining a lot of momentum, I have a all-natural mosquito repellent lotion that also has ultraviolet protection. I've seen some of my competition, and none of them are all-natural. They have some type of chemical ingredient in it. And so we're looking forward to working with distributors, investors, and we might have a big surprise by Ramadan. A big manufacturing company might partner with us. So, inshallah, we'll just keep the faith. And, again, we appreciate you all. Assalamu
alaikum. Again, it is open mic. We're taking comments from business owners or someone who has a good business idea or someone who just wished to introduce themselves. Again, caller, or do you have any comments? You're on the air. We don't have any takers at the moment. Then, Aziz, I guess it's our turn.
Yeah.
I thought the sister was making some very good points as far as, you know, when we talk about employment.
Yeah, Sister Della.
Yeah, you see, that's why you start looking at, and it goes back to this consumer spending. You start spending $1.1 trillion in consumer spending. Can you imagine how much money that is? And now, so again, I look at what Magic Johnson did with Starbucks. They was basically catering to the famous and the up class until he bought into the company. When he bought into that company, the first thing Magic told him, look, we need to see a product good. We got to sell it to the predicament. They took it down when Magic took it down into the what they say, the hood, where he built all his theaters and whatever. Look at the amount of money. So, again, that African-American dollar is a power for dollar. I say let's follow the same example. Put our businesses right in our communities and go into these trade shows, seeing what African-Americans have as far as wholesale. And once we where we can now buy directly, like I said, I know these brothers out here. I've met them. I've been in this association now for quite a while, so I know these wonderful things are happening in our community, but our public doesn't know it. So, again, we invite you to be down in Carolina, again, from May the 5th until May the 7th, 2017, and before we go off the air, we'll definitely be leaving more information, but business, we're going to always have high employment in our community as long as we are depending on high unemployment is going to be always be high in our community, especially for our young males. Our young males are the reasons I can tell you right now. Our young male, smart, professional guys, just like anyone else, but the average employer that you go to is going to be white. He fears you. Scared to death of you. Don't know how to deal, you know. So, again, your independence is going to have to be our own independence. And that independence is invested with each other and growing these businesses. Like I said, 100 investors, we don't know what business we want to go up with. No one is decided. But I know in order to be proactive, and that's what we need to be now, we've been talking about it long enough, is proactive. We need to, and that means that we're to go into business. And, yes, you can choose to go in it alone, but I'll be honest with you. And I, like the brother from young brother Kareem was saying from Tech, we both are financial planners. we know what it is to go out and build a clientele. And we talk about finance. That's all we talk about. But again, we know what a market. And again, and I say a market because if you told me to put a portfolio together of the African American community, and I see a portfolio as to where we have incomes or spendings of over $100 trillion of spendings, and 99% of these are consumers do not have businesses. That is a perfect place for that community to become vested and invest in each other together, because they have already shown it as a community. We spend a lot of money. We just do not keep it in the community. Again,
I'd like to make two comments.
Please, by all means, I told you, it's an open mic.
Okay,
yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
The first comment deals with an understanding of economics. I have lived in an urban community really practically all my life, and I have seen where black businesses have started, I mean, where people have owned and opened black businesses in black communities. I'm going to give an example of what I mean by having an understanding of economics. I went to a meeting once, and this white guy, it was a meeting for people involved with Clear Housing. And this white guy talked about he and his friend and their parents and who owned houses. And his parents' house appreciated, let's just say, four times over a 20-year period, as opposed to his friend who was black, parents' house either stayed the same or maybe even depreciated, even though they did the exact same thing, maintained it, kept the grass cut, you know, all of that. And the difference was the ability to participate in the full market. White guy's parents' house appreciated because they had access to the full market. White people, black people, Asian people, everybody was willing to live in that neighborhood, and so therefore, they had access to the full market, 100% market participation, their house is going to appreciate. But in black communities, we don't have that. White people are willing to move into black communities unless it's going to be unless they're going to gentrify it. But for the normal economics of a black community, that's not going to happen. That significantly reduces the number. It's about supply and demand. That significantly reduces the number of the demand for your house or commodity or whatever. And then, if we're going to be honest, a lot of black people don't want to buy from black people. And oftentimes in depressed communities, what you are left with in terms of who are willing to actually buy from you are people with limited income. And so if you're going to encourage people to open businesses in predominantly black communities, they need to have an understanding of this concept so that they have an understanding of what part of the market is available to them. And it's critical. You have to understand economics. You have to understand who is likely to buy from you. The second comment I have is I am now involved with the idea of educating the youth around, I hate to use the term financial literacy, because everybody will know what I'm talking about, financial literacy, which I describe as the need to be able to save money, manage money, and create wealth. And so I have written a workbook called Teach Your Children About Money, and I am currently looking for someone to partner with who has a history of involvement with children, particularly at the nonprofit level. Because my workbook is geared towards children. It's for parents. It's not for children. It's for parents to work with their children. But I have now come to understand that we really need to start at a much younger age, and that often parents aren't willing to do this. And so I want to expand to develop products and services for a younger group of people and for nonprofit providers of services to youth. If anybody knows anybody that might be interested in partnering with me.
Thank you.
You know someone,
Thanks so much. I'm sorry, Brother
Isaiah,
over you.
You do know someone that might want to be interested with the sister. Sister Adele. It's
Estella.
Yes.
How you spell that, sis?
Estella.
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry about that, Sister Estella, pronouncing your name wrong. I got it now.
And sister, I just want to comment on something you were saying was the housing and the way that the housing is appraised and what have you.
That was just an example. Excuse me for 1 second. That was just an example. I mean, the same principle applies for businesses and services. That if you open up, if you're a white person. I'll use Pittsburgh. That's where I'm originally from. And I open up, and they open up a store in a predominantly, particularly affluent white business district. Everybody is willing to go there and buy it. White people, black people, Jewish people, yellow people, everybody's willing to go to that particular neighborhood and buy that product. The same is not true in black communities. And I was at a meeting once, and a young person asked this panel, you know, is there any difference between a black entrepreneur and a white entrepreneur? And it was answered no, and that was really – and so that was just the wrong answer, because that person left thinking there's something wrong with them, if, and it's not. It's, you have to understand – it is not the same. A black entrepreneur and a white entrepreneur do not have the same opportunity. You have to think strategically in terms of the opportunity that I have. Well, the internet kind of explodes that, but you were talking about brick and mortar in a black community. And even the internet, now they want to know what you look like. And so I'm an African-American Muslim woman who wears a hijab. That cuts the number of people who are, and I refuse to put my picture out there. So that reduces the number of people who are willing to buy my product by maybe 80%. And so you need to understand the obstacles that you face, and not just go out there thinking you can do what everybody else can do.
So, sister, you're saying that African Americans, as consumers, we're spending $1.1 trillion. But we wouldn't be willing to spend those monies amongst our own communities if we had the goods and services.
I would say to a large extent, yes. We wouldn't, because we are not in those communities. And middle class blacks, it's been my experience, and I'll give you some black background. I used to work for the city of Cleveland, and one of my responsibilities was MBE, FBE, enforcement, fair housing, liaison to the banks. I have a history of working on these, and I'm an economics minor. I'm a major in business, and I minored in economics. So I do have some, and I have an education in terms of understanding some business principles, and I also have an experience of having tried to help minority businesses. And I have lived in a predominantly black neighborhood for at least 50 years. I grew up in a black neighborhood. I grew up when it was segregated, and so therefore it worked when we were segregated, because we were all in that neighborhood. And, yes, we were all willing to go shop in our communities. Now we are not. I lived around the corner from my doctor, my dentist, and, so we were forced to shop amongst each other because of segregation. It is not like that now. And yet, to your question, a lot of black middle class people do not go to depressed neighborhoods or predominantly black neighborhoods to shop. They go to malls, they go to affluent neighborhoods because that's what that in. I just think if you really think about it, I can't believe you would not agree with me.
Well, again, sister, I go back to being consumers again. We're 99.9% consumers, which means that that's all we do is buy. We have never, ever been a business folks as to where we was distributors. So, again, I am saying if I have $1.1 trillion coming from a community that is consuming the monies, but just think of that community was to now become vested and become a cooperative community. They're already spending $1.1 trillion, and this is your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles. This is not white folks. This is African Americans. So my question again, if we had the businesses, if we had any business that you go to and spend your money, if that business was in the average African American community, do you not think that that would not inspire that community?
To have a reality check of what's likely to work and what's not. I think at the retail level it's very difficult. If you're talking about distributorships or wholesale, I think that's different. I think that's actually more likely to be successful. But a regular brick and mortar store in a traditionally black community, I think you have to be very selective as to what you sell. I think it'd be really not selective. I think it'd be like really, really smart about what you're going to sell and who you're going to sell to.
Let me give you just one quick point of view. Then, $5.5 million was spent on hair. Ladies making themselves real pretty. You don't think if you were selling that same hair in your own community, it wouldn't sell?
I've seen black businesses that sell hair go out of business. And one of the reasons I'm told is that they have not been able to compete with the prices that the Koreans are able to charge, because the Koreans would actually boycott. I mean, would not even sell to anybody but themselves. I have a little bit of understanding about this too, because I have a friend who's black who's married to a Korean who does own a hair store, and they're able to be competitive because she got the contact because she's Korean. I understand there's a brother now that has those same contacts. That it may change things, but there is a reluctance of black people to go shop in black communities. I mean, if they have an alternative, often they will go to the alternative.
Let me interject right quick. I know time is running. If y'all don't mind,
I mean,
with the sisters making. No, very serious observation because of, the stereotype that we all have to face. But when you're in business, you have to be in business for the general public. You can't be in business just for an African-American or whatever segment. When you go into business, you got to go into business for the general public. I don't care what you're doing, you won't be successful. Now, I agree with her that it is very difficult on the retail level to attract your own folks to come and shop with you. So there's an education that has to go along with that. And then, of course, also your price points. If your price points are of a luxury item, you just can get them. We had almost 30 retail stores in Dallas, Texas, called Riz Department Store. And it was very successful. But, of course, when the Koreans came in, it was a big challenge. But I want to share this book, which is called Weeconomics. Weeconomics, WIKINOMICS, Weeconomics, mass collaboration changes everything, Weeconomics. And so I found this book for a penny. I'm good at finding books for a penny. If you Google Weakonomics, I'm telling you, it is a very serious insight into how we can take advantage of the 21st century in terms of business and information technology. And you don't have to be a computer wizard. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about understanding how information flows, because, like the sister said, if they had the correct information, then it wouldn't be such a struggle for us to do business with our own people. But they have incorrect information. So, and then I was going to say, too, because I've had some retail stores, and I'll be quiet to this. I never was the owner. I never was the owner. I always just worked for somebody. You know, I never, who owned it? I don't own it because of that stereotype, you know. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to give up. That doesn't mean we're supposed to give up and throw up our hands. And I know some successful African-American Muslim brothers here in Houston in the hair business. They sell them top-of-line hair. And so we have to compete. We have to roll up our sleeves. We're just like when the Jews was promised the promised land, and some of them didn't want to fight, and some of them did. You know, we got to fight. We can't expect people to lay down. We got to not just go to people because we're black. We have to go to people because we have an excellent product, a very professional setting. We are professional. We offer a professional product. And we say our prayers and a lot of blessings, you know. Because I'm going after that $1 trillion that you keep talking about. I'm not going to let everybody else just take advantage of it, not me.
let me just say this. Wall Street, S&P, the S&P in 2005 did a report, black collar, and it would take me some time to go through that entire report, but in essence, the S&P was saying to manufacturers that whatever you do, because of the African-American dollar being so powerful, they're saying that no. They're saying exactly what you're saying, is that no, don't put your businesses directly in the black communities. Don't put your businesses too far away from that black community. Right. Because of the large consumer spending that the African-Americans do as far as consumers. And this is the S&P making that report. And my another point I want to make, and I'm gonna get right back and let you guys share in. I don't know if you are a business person yourself. You are the sister. Are a business person yourself. Let me just say this: as an African American who's been in business for 40 years and have never, when I first came out of college, I think I may have worked for the government for about a year, but I couldn't. Function very well on salaries because, again, I was controlled. But once I got away from salaries and got into business, I found that I was no longer controlled because as a business person, I am going to compete with a marketing and sales. And that's what's going to make your income is how well you are in marketing and in sales. You're right. So, again, once I got into a business, my income went up tremendously, and I've been in business for 40 years. After that, never went back to the salary position because salary position couldn't afford me. Again, I was able to employ many employees before I retired after 40 years of being out there building a clientele. So, again, and I can tell you, yes, the clientele, I can go out looking for, no one is going to go out looking for a black clientele. But at the same time, I do know that my clientele, just like the S&P was talking about, that black dollar is very strong in my clientele. And so, again, I am saying that if Americans was in business, the way that those of us who have been in business, who made their living from business, who had to compete with making money, again, I see a market where I see trillions of dollars being spent, and you are 99% consuming
and you're not into the business of production, then I'm coming after your market. And that's what's happening to our communities. That's why you see so many folks coming after the African-American market because of those statistics. We are spending a lot of money, but we do not produce of anything. And I say let's build our community. But my opinion, and we still got about 5 to 6 more minutes, so I'm going to need to hear you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's Bernice.
Hey, sis.
Hi, dear. How are you?
Everything's good. You're calling from Delaware.
Yes, still here in Delaware.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to ask this question in terms of having, quote-unquote, a store, and I appreciate the realities that we must face when certain monies, as much as people would want the product, they, for whatever reason, would fear or be at least reluctant to come into a physical site. Have you considered at all, I'm not a business person, it's just ideas, have you considered at all a New Africa cyber mall? Because that way, the wave of the future is virtual. Everything's going to be done with virtual shopping anyway. People don't want to waste their gas, time, money, you know, the whole bit, running up down these highways, and they're getting sick and tired of these physical mega malls. If you're talking about bringing in multiple businesses, why not build yourself a cyber mall? And then people don't have to get into their cars at all. They just go from one shop to another right at the convenience of their laptops and desktops.
Bernice, this is what this show is all about. Is a business. In business or bringing on new business ideas, and I think that you may have hit on something very unique. And
it would be awesome because people don't have to worry about the neighborhood. They don't have to worry about whatever they worry about. And people are getting sick and tired of being around all those people in the malls anyway. I think from what you're trying to do with bringing in all these multiple businesses, people are going to go from shop to shop to shop. And not even leave the comforts of their home.
And I am going to ask you, you're going to be hosting one of these programs here, you and another assistant. We're still working on you. But I would ask you to continue to come on and elaborate. And I'm going to ask all of my guests, because this is what's going to make us at least a vested. That's what my hopes are. We've got about 2 minutes. We've got about 2 minutes here left. I am. You guys are continuing to talk for 2 minutes. You hear some soft music in the background. And anyone who wishes to start off the conversation, hey, and by myself, I'll be speaking to everyone again next Wednesday at from 7 to 8. This is Bilal Masadik Bynum. Good night, along with. So any comments anyone want to make in the next couple of minutes, please, you're on the air, right ahead and speak. There'll be some soft music in the back.
As-salamu alaykum. My brothers and sisters, this is Sister Joyce. I'm calling from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the new Black Wall Street Marketplace, and we are conducting business. However, we would like to get more information, as my sister has just mentioned a few minutes ago.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect
your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors,
you know, that's why I say I understand what the sister's talking about, and there's got to be a better education. Playing and all that, our people need to be more educated about buying from one or participating in one. We'll run right over there to the Spanish boys in a minute. And like your sister say, I know that they're like you buy shops that have closed because nobody was buying for them. A lot of them didn't have the trinkets. Our people were so tied up in trinkets. That's why the white man laughs every time they tell about that deal they got Manhattan for. They bought Manhattan for a bunch of shiny cut glass.